radical left has taken over the Democratic Party.
Hello and welcome to Think Progressively, covering politics and all the other chaos life has to offer.
Lots of chaos this week.
This is episode 19, recorded on Thursday, January 7th from Milwaukee. I'm Joe.
And I'm Jason.
And on today's episode, we were going to discuss the secret harm of conspiracy theories. We'll throw that out the window, apparently, because we're going to talk about the real harm that we now all learned about.
Not so secret anymore.
But first, I guess the headlines.
Fake news.
Happy New Year.
It's been 2 weeks, Joe.
Happy freaking New Year.
We've been on vacation.
And look what happens.
Yeah, we stopped doing our podcast for 2 weeks and democracy falls apart.
Democracy dies on vacation. It's a little Washington Post reference.
So let's get into
it. To the headlines.
So let's start with the big headline.
The Georgia Senate runoff. Oh, wait.
It would have been the Georgia Senate runoff. Instead, we get to talk about Trump fanatics and QAnon supporters storming the Capitol building.
Where do we start?
Well, let's start where this started, at the Trump rally nearby.
Where Trump literally told them to march to the Capitol?
Yes, he said, "I will march with you," which of course he didn't because those people are lunatics, down Pennsylvania Avenue, and we'll go and have a show of force. We can't take back our country with weakness. We have to be strong.
Well, also that he was slamming Mike Pence, too, during his speech.
And Rudy Giuliani literally said,
"Oh my God,
they needed a trial by combat."
How is he not in jail?
That is incitement to violence. And usually the threshold for charging someone with that is an immediate reaction by the crowd of violence.
Yeah, it's an immediate correlation to unlawful behavior.
Which you definitely had, covered by every major news outlet in the world.
So, as of right now, at least 56 officers were injured. Yeah. Well, what day was it?
It was yesterday.
Oh my God.
As of this recording.
Oh my God. There were at least 56 officers injured. 70 so far have been arrested, most for unlawful entry and violating curfew. 2 were charged for carrying a pistol without a license. 2 were charged for assaulting a police officer. 4 died on the day of, including the one shot by Capitol Police. And as of right now, I think about 30 minutes ago, we are now receiving new reports that one of the officers just recently has passed away as well.
The law and order crowd killing police officers.
These must be all the frickin' lawful gun owners, right? The good, responsible gun owners.
There are also found at least 3 bombs, one at the RNC, one at the DNC, and one inside the Capitol building that were all safely detonated by police.
And one Molotov cocktail.
10 were found in someone's car.
They found 10?
Yeah.
My God. My own script is even out of date now.
And I don't know if this is true, but for some of the other people who died, I heard one of them actually tased themselves accidentally to death.
Oh my God. The stupidest coup ever. And then even I just showed Jason this right beforehand, where there was a picture of a guy flying the wrong Georgia flag underneath the Trump flag as he's trying to like rally outside the Capitol building, where he has, instead of the Georgia state flag, the European country of Georgia's flag.
Well, that is why they said that there were more than 100% voter turnout, right, in Georgia, because they were looking at the population of the country. So I'm not too surprised. What I am surprised and appalled at, we're seeing the images of someone waving a Confederate flag inside the Capitol building in Washington, something that the Confederate Army never managed to do. And how much do we spend on defense in this country? And in less than an hour, maggots were able to storm the Capitol building, break windows, push their way in, and they replaced the flag outside with a Trump flag.
We were defeated by a freaking Minotaur.
The QAnon shaman.
Yeah. Oh my God.
We'll get into this a little bit more in the main segment, because a lot of this has to do with,
I mean, pretty much,
what is the actual harm of conspiracy theories.
But I do want to talk about just some more details about this. So obviously, as many of you probably know, this was during the Congress's electoral vote certification, which should have been a absolutely uneventful event. Like, nothing should have happened to this thing. We were already expecting kind of a little wild day because we were going to get some debate going on in Congress, get some idiotic senators and congressmen, or congresspeople, I apologize, were going to object to these election results.
Some grandstanding.
Yeah, that was supposed to be it. That was the excitement for that day. And we get this crazy...
And it did start off that way, right? Right away with Arizona.
And Jason, I don't know when you started paying attention to it, but for me, it was when I started hearing reports that they evacuated Mike Pence and they brought him to a safe house because of this. So I immediately turned on and I just see a swarm of like just MAGA heads just outside our Capitol building.
Yeah, it's kind of around the same. Once the report started coming out of them evacuating the Capitol building, that definitely caught my attention. And, you know, don't tell my boss, but then most of my focus at that point was on the news.
I couldn't focus all day. I was just literally watching that all day. So rioters broke down barriers, or I guess were also let in by police officers by a video I was just shown.
According to the person who filmed it, he claims that that is not what the video shows, even though that it really looks like what the video shows is Capitol police officers moving the barriers out of the way and then walking slowly away from protesters as they stream in past those barriers that were moments ago holding them back.
We also saw rioters climb the scaffolding, break down doors and windows, and climbing through the windows.
That is how the one lady, apparently an Air Force veteran, was shot.
Yep. And then for some reason, and I still don't understand this, where you have the people who literally broke down doors and windows to get into the building also were totally fine with following all of the like velvet red rope rules.
Yeah, I saw a couple people like gingerly step over them. Like, oh, we don't want to disrespect the ropes.
Right, these guys just broke down these windows and just like threw a chair in the window and then climbed through it and then just walk around like idiots, like they're tourists.
So instead of Capitol Police, maybe we should get some movie theater ushers.
Apparently. What law and order do these people think like exists?
I saw quite a few videos of people screaming obscenities at police officers, calling them traitors, throwing things at them.
Shoving them. There was literally a video. This makes me so angry, and we should talk about this too. How this even happened to begin with, right? But I saw a video from inside the Capitol building where a bunch of rioters were shoving police officers, shoving them to the point where they eventually got stampeded over and nothing was being done. You were literally stampeding over the security agents of our own federal building with our congressional elected representatives inside.
This is the first time
They just let it happen.
That our Congress has been shut down due to invading outside forces since 1814.
Representatives were tweeting out videos or Snapchatting videos or whatever they were doing of them hiding underneath their chairs on the second floor of the congressional hall while they're banging down the doors. And this is the same door that they shot the woman at, Jason. We're literally banging down the doors and smashing the windows of the door while Secret Service and security agents on the other side had to throw a desk or something.
Yeah, they had it barricaded.
Yeah, up against the door with guns drawn.
Yep.
Fearing for their lives.
And that is why she was shot, is because they were protecting the people inside of that room. And it's unfortunate. I wish no one would have lost their life, but they do have a job to do that is their duty. Now, obviously, a million people have made this same contrast, but all you have to do is look to a few months ago when there were Black Lives Matter
protests. We literally saw BLM protesters who were protesting peacefully, not even the rioters of the BLM protests that were being, thrown out all over the place by right-wing media, but just the ones that were sitting outside of the White House were gassed immediately so our president could have a freaking photo op at a church.
Mm-hmm. We saw the protest where police shoved down that elderly man.
Yes.
And just stepped over his body as he was bleeding out of his ears with no regard for him whatsoever. At least the lady that was shot got immediate medical attention, though she did die later of her wounds, but she was at least treated like a human being.
Well, and here's my thing. I'm sure I can get some flack for this too, because to me, I understand why you wouldn't have a lot of sympathy for some of these people who get hurt doing this idiotic thing. I understand that. For me, though, I find her death much more sad and tragic than I am like, good, screw her or anything like that. My whole thing is, I'm absolutely horrified that a woman in our country, and granted, there's millions of them, right? That was so brainwashed and indoctrinated into this cult conspiracy culture that she felt obligated to storm our Capitol building and nearly wage war for Trump.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. I see it as incredibly avoidable on her part.
She didn't have to die.
Yeah, on the Secret Service agents or Capitol Police or whoever it was that did fire the shot inside there. I can understand it. I mean, they are literally protecting our elected officials. That is their job. That's their solemn duty to do. And these protesters were armed, as we discussed. Some of them did have explosives along with firearms. I don't see really that they had an option at that point. They were extremely gentle with the protesters outside of that incident, where if there was no one in immediate physical danger, they kind of just let them do whatever they wanted to do. They didn't slam people to the ground and gas them and beat the hell out of them.
They were taking selfies with them.
Yeah, some of them were as well. And the Capitol Police Chief just resigned today over this.
Good.
And yeah, and they are going to have to make some changes. If our democracy can be disrupted by a few thousand people deciding that what they want is more important than what the country wants, we can't allow this to happen. So I do understand. I'm glad it didn't turn into a complete bloodbath, which it could have easily done.
Like, it could have been so much worse.
And I applaud the police for showing the restraint they did. Now maybe they can train that to all other law enforcement agents across the country and say, you know, this is how you can deal with an unruly mob without murdering everybody.
Well, I saw a tweet a little bit earlier asking, where is all the tear gas? Where are the choke slams? Where are the tackles? Where are the completely armed guards that we saw at other protests? That's not asking for more police brutality. That's just showing that our police, under the right circumstances, in this case, white circumstances, do know.
Under the white circumstances?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do know how to use at least restrictive force when needed. They knew how to restrain themselves. They know how to conduct themselves with the right crowd.
Yep.
So let's call that out. Let's call that discrepancy out.
Certainly.
Obviously, you probably have seen it on the news. There were guys that probably broke into the Senate hall and posted idiotic pictures. There was an idiotic guy from The Blaze. His name was Elijah Schaefer, who literally went into Pelosi's office and took a picture of her, I think it was her like assistant's computer, with her email still on it, and then tweeted out the picture of said computer with said emails on it.
Right, and that's, so you're tweeting it in a public forum that's an international forum. That could literally be considered espionage.
Right! Obviously, you had people who broke into Pelosi's office, sat at her assistant's desk, who left her letters of saying, like, you know, I can't remember what the letters even said. Trump was stupid the entire time. He didn't do anything except send them there. And then after like hours of begging people, or him, people begging him to do anything, he sends out like the worst video of all time.
Right. We need to go home. You guys were all great, but it's time to go home now. Yes, they stole the election from us, and it's your civic duty to take back our country. But, you know, we're done for the day. Go home. I love you all. What did he say about NFL players that kneeled during the national anthem? Yeah, get those sons of bitches off the field.
Yep.
He's not racist, Joe.
Oh, my God. I nearly lost my mind when I watched that video.
He's called Black Lives Matter protesters thugs. Yeah. Whereas,
it says, I love you.
These people that literally break through windows and crawl into the Capitol building. I love you.
And because of that, they actually banned that video on Facebook and Twitter.
And I believe his accounts are suspended. He certainly hasn't posted anything.
I don't know. Today. I mean, so I know Trump's Twitter was locked for about 12 hours because of risk of violence. They blocked that video and some other tweets that were just freaking insane. I know I tweeted about it from our account, where it's a literal coup attempt. Like, that's literally,
yes,
it's the words how you start a coup.
Yeah, it's a poor attempt, but yeah, it was.
So I did see that earlier today. Mark Zuckerberg did say that they're indefinitely suspending his accounts, at least for the end of his presidency, on Facebook and Instagram. So good. I'm glad.
Well, that's a thing. You kind of mentioned it earlier. These people that were incited to this violence, they're being told by the president of the United States that the presidential election was a fraud, that he won and the vote was stolen from them, and they need to be there to support him as he tries to convince Congress to do something about it. certainly I'm willing to abdicate some of the responsibility on their part and give that to Trump and everyone in his administration that has been going along with him and saying, yes, there's been voter fraud. Yes, the election was stolen.
Well, let's talk about that, too.
They're responsible for this.
You're now starting to see like people like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell talk about, we're trying to be civil here. We need to worry about our institutions. Screw off. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you can't do that after you told people the election was stolen.
People like them were pouring gasoline on the house for years, and they cannot act surprised when Trump lights the match to set that damn house on fire. That's what pisses me off. Did you see what Ted Cruz did today, where he was like attacking Beto O'Rourke?
No.
So Beto O'Rourke was attacking Senate Republicans by saying that they're responsible and the blood is on their hands for what happened, which is correct. That is factually correct.
Yes.
And so here's what Ted Cruz said back. Stop stoking division. Stop spreading hate. Stop using malicious rhetoric such as false and reckless charges of sedition. Stop showing contempt for the half of the country that disagrees with you. Violence is wrong. We can do better. We are one nation. Hashtag E pluribus unum.
So this
is... Are you freaking kidding me?
This is Ted Cruz stealing the Trump playbook. You just tell the other side that they're doing what you always do.
Oh my God.
And that they're wrong for doing it.
And screw up with this E pluribus unum crap from the hardcore Christian nationalists out here.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. As we saw, there were crosses put up. There was a giant Jesus banner. Yep.
Jesus saves.
Yeah, these are white Christian nationalists.
This was also after he voted to object to the results of the election.
Stop spreading division.
Are you freaking kidding me?
I think it did throw a monkey wrench in their grandstanding plan. They only ended up objecting to one other state after they reconvened, probably because they didn't want to be there till 5 in the morning. But
yeah, I was going to do that whole thing too. Talk about how these 12 Senate Republicans just decided to, have this whole coup attempt to overthrow our elections. I was going to talk about how the fact that they're using psychological manipulation techniques to spread conspiracy theories, because that's how bad and harmful conspiracy theories are. But it doesn't freaking matter anymore. How many House Republicans voted against it? Was 120, 130?
121.
121 of Republicans voted against our election results. I'm losing my mind.
And more into the conspiracy theories surrounding this. The most popular one immediately following the first reports of violence at the Capitol were that it wasn't Trump supporters, Joe. These were Antifa anarchists masquerading as Trump supporters that were leading this charge to storm the Capitol.
I hate this country. I hate it so much. I hate everything.
And it's not just...
And these aren't crazies.
Yeah,
let me fix that. These are very crazy people. But these aren't just your drunk uncles and aunts or something like that.
These aren't just talking head, TV personalities and random people.
They're elected officials. Yep. Come on.
Our least favorite politician from Florida, Matt Gaetz. His quote was, "I don't know if the reports are true, but the Washington Times has just reported," very credible source there.
The one owned by the Moonies, by the way.
"With some pretty compelling evidence from a facial recognition company showing that some of the people who breached the Capitol today were not Trump supporters. They were masquerading as Trump supporters and in fact were members of the violent terrorist group Antifa."
I mean, for goodness sakes, Paul Gosar called it a false flag operation, man. What are we doing?
So did Alex Jones, I'm guessing.
Sure, but screw him. Again, he's supposed to be some crazy right-wing conspiracy theorist. These are elected representatives.
Saw quite a few people showing the picture of the buffalo-horned gentleman who is...
Oh, at the BLM rally?
Well, they showed the picture of him in the Capitol building with the Duck Dynasty-looking gentleman next to him. And they were showing the tattoos on the Duck Dynasty guy's hands and saying, "See, it's a hammer and sickle, but it doesn't look at all like a hammer and sickle." And people quickly realized it was a tattoo from some video game called Dishonored. And the actual director of that game verified and said, "Yeah, that's what it is. I can assure you."
The guy got a Dishonored tattoo, you give me?
Yeah, it's the mark of the outsider, I suppose. Oh, I've never played that game, so I don't.
It's a very good game, actually. I'm really upset that
Duck Dynasty guy agrees with you.
I'm very sad that this guy dishonors.
And the buffalo horned gentleman is quite well known already by the internet, and he is known as the QAnon shaman.
But idiots decided to share a picture with him being a counter protester at a BLM rally, saying that he was a secret BLM protester trying to make Republicans look bad.
Yeah, ignoring everything that that guy has put online and what's already been well established about him. There was some fallout from this.
Actually, a lot. I didn't get a chance to put it all in.
Some members of the Trump administration have resigned in the last 24 hours.
Yep. I think as of right now, there are 8 or 9 that resigned. Mick Mulvaney is the most known or notable.
Chief of staff.
Yeah.
Well, the newest chief of staff. You would have thought there's no way he's not making it to the end, right?
Right.
Last week. But I guess not. How many? That has to be a record for most members of chief of staff, at least in one term. It
or
has
something,
to be.
Right? I do also know Elaine Cho or Elena Cho. I can't remember what her actual name is. I apologize. She's Mitch McConnell's wife, so I really don't care. Also just put in her resignation as well. She didn't want to deal with this.
More grandstanding, too, for her husband. So you'd be like, see, I was against all of this.
Right.
You had the chance to get rid of Trump. You didn't take it.
I don't know how to like to talk about the rest of this stuff. After that, let's talk about some other stuff. I mean, I guess.
We do have some good news. It should have been a show that was mostly good news.
Yeah. Great start to the year.
Somehow. And I did not believe this was going to happen. I figured it would be a split. And out of the Georgia runoff elections, and Raphael Warnock would probably win.
Yep.
And John Ossoff would likely lose. That's what I expected to happen. I figured higher than normal turnout, but we'll see the same thing that we saw during the presidential election, where there's just as high turnout on the Republican side. Everybody knows this is for control of the Senate. Perdue is somehow more popular there. Loeffler's never actually been elected to office. She was installed in that role. But I was being pessimistic, apparently. The Democrats won both seats. Both Ossoff and Warnock have won their seats. That means that the Senate is going to be a 50-50 tie, with incoming Vice President Kamala Harris being the tie-breaking vote. And the Democrats actually have a chance of getting some things passed.
I mean, like,
depending on Joe Manchin.
Yeah, right. I mean, we should be excited. Like, this is really good news. It just doesn't feel like that anymore, which is sad because we are kind of robbed of that good feeling after all the craziness and stress that we all had to endure.
It's certainly great news if you live in Georgia, that, you know, the state that was fairly red for the, you know, immediate past here is finally starting to come around. And it should, like, the demographics of Georgia say they should lean Democratic, right? If you just look at the beliefs of people and what you would generally expect.
Well, and this was a historic turnout.
And they
had
their first black senator.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, we're talking about all the work that the organizers did, that Stacey Abrams did, Latasha Brown did, organizing and finding new black voters. I think there were...
Getting people registered, getting them to the polling.
I think there
were
an estimated 140,000 new voters for this election that didn't vote in November, which heavily skewed Democratic.
And it should show all of those people that their votes do matter.
Yes.
You did this.
Yes.
Because you decided to vote in this election, you were able to actually accomplish something.
So hats off to Georgia, man. I'm super happy.
And great, it should put a lot of it should put a lot of pressure on the Democratic Party to actually do something with this. Show those people that because they came out to vote and really tip the balance of power for the entire country, they should get something for it.
I agree.
And the first step of that should be, once they're sworn into office and we have that Senate majority leader, hopefully not Chuck Schumer, being a Democrat.
It's going to be Chuck Schumer.
We should immediately start working on those $2,000 checks.
Damn right.
And they should work on a new Voting Rights Act.
And somehow drug Joe Manchin to make him a little bit more progressive.
Well, he was, if I'm remembering correctly, he was in favor of the $2,000 check.
That's good. That makes me feel better.
He is basically he's going to be the Democratic Susan Collins.
Yep, pretty much. I mean, okay.
Hopefully he's the Democratic Susan Collins, where he makes a big show of everything, but then still sides with the Democrats.
In
all the
Joe
time.
Manchin's defense, I can't believe I'm going to say this. The guy is in West Virginia.
Yeah, it's a position that normally you would expect a Republican to be in anyway,
right,
which is why he has to be
pretty
as middle of the road as he can
be. And I would prefer to have a Joe Manchin over some crazy Trumplican any day. So Just work with him.
He does need to
break his kneecaps if you have to.
He does need to look at the history of Susan Collins and just do what she always does. Complain about it, but then always vote with your party.
I love that idea. And let's be real, West Virginians aren't going to notice. Sorry for all my West Virginia listeners.
Well, you know, they have a shot to get something out of this. You know, every bill that you pass has, which again, I don't agree with the way government works, but this is the way it works. Every bill that's passed, let him throw in some,
you know,
Jason, garbage for West Virginia.
And if you don't like how government works, I have a group I can sell you.
Well, we can storm the Capitol building next week.
All right, sounds good. And what was supposed to be the crazy Trump story for this week, Donald Trump had a crazy one-hour phone call with Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger.
Did you listen to it?
I listened to some of it.
I listened to the whole hour today.
No, see, here's the thing, Jason, and I want to make this very clear. I put the whole video in the notes. I put the whole call in the notes because I saw it first. And I put it in there. I'm like, I'm going to listen to this later. Sounds great. I've been so preoccupied with what happened yesterday that I never even watched it. And now Jason did. And now I feel
now
like
I'm
an idiot.
The expert.
Right. Now I feel like an idiot.
Yes, I did, unfortunately, listen to the whole thing. Literally, during that call, the Georgia Secretary of State and his lawyer, who was on the call, I forgot his first name, his last name was Germany, and Trump made some, oh, your last name is so great. Ugh, come on, man. He's a child. He literally made that remark. They refuted everything Trump said, and he still was like, no, that's what happened.
Oh, and they were doing it in those votes. They were doing it in the nicest way possible,
too. Oh, yeah. They were. You could definitely tell they didn't want to. I mean, I would have hung up on it. I literally, if I would have been in that position, I would have hung up on the president of the United States. Just like, sorry, I can't deal with this. And just hung up because he was being an insane person, which, I mean, we've all seen it.
Well, I mean, he was threatening the Secretary of State with like actual legal action and actual like criminal action, saying, well, you're violating the law. You know, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
To you.
And he even's like, well, I'm telling you so that, you know, I'm making you aware
that you're breaking the law or something. Yeah. By not doing this.
So basically the call started off with Trump making up seemingly numbers of votes that they 100% have proof of, which doesn't exist, that 5,000, like they literally had numbers for all of these things, like 5,000 dead people voted, 4,000 people were turned away at the polls saying that they had already voted. This many people were found to be, they moved out of Georgia, but yet they still voted. 18,000 ballots were scanned in three times by one of the poll workers who he literally named during the call. The Washington Post recording that I listened to, they bleeped out her name.
Thank
but,
goodness.
Oh, you can find it. It's out there.
Oh, great.
And her daughter, so like literally threatening, putting in danger a United States citizen and her daughter. That should be enough for impeachment.
Great.
There, not even
our
what happened yesterday.
Our president's officially doxing.
Exactly. And saying that, you know, they have video that's in slow motion and they zoomed in and you can see. And the Georgia Secretary of State said, no, that's not true. If you watch the entire video, which was given to them by a local news station, none of what he's saying is accurate. And then even besides that, they have done multiple recounts in Georgia, including one entirely by
hand. They've done three recounts.
Yes.
Or sorry, two recounts. They counted three times.
Yeah. So they counted by hand.
Yep.
All of the ballots, not scanning in anything, but and all of those numbers are basically the same.
And Trump still brought up Dominion.
Yeah, and even though they said no, we count the numbers that we counted by hand match what the machines said, and he still was like, "Yeah, okay, so I gave you like 50,000 votes that were wrong, and I only need 11,000." So, and they're like, no, you didn't give us anything. We've looked into everything you're saying, and you're wrong. None of that happened.
And my favorite, which is also horrifying, was, and I thought you were a Republican.
Yeah,
I'm corrupt. So disappointed. Like, I'm so disappointed in you, and you're a Republican. Good Lord. And then, this is insane, too. It's like, and you have an election coming up, too. I'm sure that people aren't going to be happy with when your election comes up. Are you literally threatening the guy's elected spot? Are you serious right now?
A publicly elected official.
Oh, my God. Who do you think leaked the audio?
Oh, it was definitely someone who works in the Secretary of State's office. I don't think he did it personally.
I want to believe he did. I want to believe that he's so angry at that call.
His his lawyer was more. It could have been his lawyer. His lawyer was pretty angry.
I'd be okay with that too, man.
I'm guessing it's someone from his office. Who cares? Like, hopefully Trump is actually prosecuted by the state of Georgia as soon as he's no longer president. He can't pardon himself for a state crime, which is nice. Unfortunately, when we're just talking about the Capitol stuff, because Washington, D.C. is not a state, the only person that does have the power to pardon people for any crime committed in Washington, D.C. is unfortunately the president. So he can offer pardons for any criminal activity that took place surrounding the Capitol riot, whatever you want to call it, coup attempt. He has that power.
I've heard someone call it Pettysburg. I can't get over it.
I'm not a big pun guy, but that's if you like it, then that's fine. But yeah, so I would expect him to do something like that. You know, everyone is saying, you know, he should be charged with inciting violence and inciting a riot, which, yes, he should be. Giuliani should be. Many people that were tweeting that the election was stolen and telling people that there was fraud involved, even though there's no evidence of that, should be charged. Probably nothing will come of it. Even the people that were arrested, Trump loves them, as he said. I expect them to be pardoned, unfortunately.
Next up in headlines, the officer who shot Jacob Blake in Kenosha will not be facing charges.
To no one's surprise.
Nope. The guy was shot in the back 7 times, Jason.
But he possibly had a knife, Joe. There's no way, as we just saw in the Capitol, there is no way for police to detain anyone or stop violence without shooting to kill them.
Man, what is justice in this
and,
country
and that's
anymore?
The thing. Like, I would have fully expected, had that gone to trial, that he would be acquitted.
Yeah, me too.
But that's the problem. Police officers do not even have to worry about that level of public scrutiny. They don't have to worry about putting their lives in the hands of 12 of their peers, because the entire system is on their side. The attorney general, the state prosecutors, are all on the side of the police. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Who is on the side of Jacob Blake in that situation? No one. You have a defense attorney who's there for the police officer, and you have police union representatives, and you have an attorney general who are all on the side of the officer. No one is on the side of the people, on the side of Jacob Blake, on the side of his family. And that's the problem. These things never even get the chance to go to a court. That's exactly what happened with Breonna Taylor.
Yep.
They never bring charges against these police officers in these situations. And that's why they say Black Lives Matter, because in these situations, it seems like they don't. They're not even worthy of bringing up criminal charges against people. They may get fired. Doesn't that say that they didn't do their job properly? So if you don't do your job properly and someone is murdered as a result of that, you would be charged with a crime. There's no doubt. But not if you're a police officer. And that is wrong.
I mean, you said it all.
And we will eventually do a Black Lives Matter episode where we'll get into a little bit more of the nuts and bolts of this. But all I can say is I was completely expecting this. They did bring in the National Guard because they knew what the verdict was going to be, and they knew it would cause unrest. So it doesn't surprise anyone.
No.
Because there is no justice in these situations, and that's one of the things that needs to be addressed by police reform.
And speaking of justice, our last headline of the day, maybe a little bit of good news. Starting on, well, it won't actually be starting on January 20th, but in the new Biden administration, Biden will nominate Merrick Garland as the new attorney general.
Kind of a step down from Supreme Court, I think.
I mean, just a little. I also think it's the biggest FU to McConnell and Trump.
I'm not the biggest fan of this strategy of Biden. He's, to put it in different terms, he seems like an Obama cover band. You know, he's playing all the Obama hits.
I love it. I love that description so much.
So that this is just another, he's just playing another one of those Obama hits. And yeah, I mean, you could consider it to be a little jab at the Republicans, but they stole a Supreme Court seat. I don't think you win in that contest by being like, well, I got the guy that was going to be the Supreme Court justice as the attorney general. Yeah, great. Tell me in 40 years.
Yeah. Although I will say, I am actually pretty happy that Merrick Garland is going to be our AG. Like, he is a very well qualified person for this job. Maybe not as progressive as we want. I understand that, too. We have an experienced person running our Justice Department. That makes me so happy.
For the first time in 4 years.
Yes. So, and again, we also, that's another episode we have to do, but it keeps getting pushed back as well. We need to go through Biden's nominations for his cabinet another day. Today, we talk about conspiracy theories.
On to the conspiracy theories.
Let's go.
Running against the worst candidate in the history of presidential politics puts pressure on me. Could you imagine if I lose my whole life? What am I going to do? I'm going to say, I lost to the worst candidate in the history of politics. I'm not going to feel so good. Maybe I'll have to leave the country. I don't know.
In another story you may have forgotten about.
Oh, God.
On Christmas morning in Nashville, there was a very large bomb detonated in an RV outside of an AT&T communications facility. We're not going to say his name because that's kind of what these people want. So we'll just call him the Nashville bomber, whatever. One thing I will give him is he seemed to try to take some precautions in order to not kill innocent people, which is something, I suppose. I mean, millions of dollars in damage and everything else potentially could have killed some people. But he did have a loud warning. There was like gunshots playing over a speaker, which is what got the police in the area because they reported gunfire. And it played the song Downtown and then kept giving warnings, telling people to stay away, that there was a bomb. It was going to go off before the explosion. Apparently, the only one killed was the Nashville bomber. So he was in the RV at the time. No immediate motive apparent, but apparently he was a very, very avid conspiracy theorist, bought into the David Icke lizard alien conspiracy, which says that the
secret lizard people,
right, the upper echelons of society, governments, are all run by lizard people, and under certain conditions, you can see through their disguises. A lot of times it has to do with like video artifacts due to compression or VHS, you know, back in the 80s, any kind of blip on the screen. Like, oh, see, his eyes just changed. Like, yeah, man, it's all fuzzy. You can't see anything. But that's what these people claim. And apparently he had written some things saying that he would go to a public park and hunt for lizards. He was not talking about the animals. Apparently an avid conspiracy theorist, probably an InfoWars guy. No concrete support that he blew up the AT&T building specifically to attack potential 5G technology, which there is a very popular conspiracy theory. It's more popular in Europe than it is here, but that 5G is actually the cause of coronavirus.
Yeah, we're in the UK, they're actually burning down.
Yeah, many.
Well, some 5G towers. Sometimes they weren't even 5G towers.
Right. Because the 5G towers are actually a lot smaller than the conventional cell towers. And they also have, that's why there's a lot more of them. The 5G, as I used to work in telco, cable, not phone, but they are the ones that power a lot of the cell towers. Are actually run through the cable fiber network, the cell tower backhaul, it's referred to as. But the higher frequencies that you have, which 5G is a much higher frequency, the shorter your range is. And if you have Wi-Fi at home and you have a 5G, 5 gigahertz versus, and then that's gigahertz, not 5G with cell phones refers to the generation, not gigahertz.
Whereas, why can't I have 100 Gs, Jason?
Whereas in your home Wi-Fi, it actually means 5 gigahertz. Versus the standard Wi-Fi that we use nowadays is 2.4 gigahertz. The 5 gigahertz has, it's a faster speed, but shorter range.
Right? I really do appreciate this lesson and how the internet works.
So the higher the frequency, the less range it has, the less penetration it has. So the more dense your network has to be, the more antennas you have to have. So in this rollout, and this was being rolled out actually in 2018, so before the coronavirus was found. So right away, the theory does not hold up. But the idea, the main reason behind the conspiracy is they look at maps that show 5G penetration and coronavirus.
Spikes of coronavirus.
Right. And you can see like, oh, they kind of line up. Well,
shocker. They're in population centers.
Right. It just follows population density. Same thing if you put a map of where there are McDonald's. over. It's the same. Like, oh, look, it's McDonald's causes coronavirus.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised about that, actually.
So no basis in fact. The frequencies, while they are higher than what we've used previously, still not anywhere near the ionizing radiation territory. Everything, you know, light is radiation, right? So a light bulb is also radiation. There's a difference between ionizing radiation, radiation that is able to harm your cells and your DNA, and non-ionizing radiation, which is not. It's not a high enough energy to do that, to break those bonds. I don't know how much of that is really, I mean, like,
I have no
facts
idea.
Facts don't really mean much when it comes to these conspiracies, but it's very probable that this bomb was detonated because this guy bought into these 5G conspiracy, because he seemed to be specifically targeting AT&T. Yeah, his dad worked there a little bit in the past, I guess, possibly part of it, but he wasn't targeting people, and he was a huge conspiracy guy. I say very likely that is an example of...
Well, wasn't there something where he like put out like a memo or like he tried to make sure people weren't hurt? Am I thinking of the right one?
I didn't see anything in writing about that, but certainly his actions speak to that.
Okay.
He did tell a neighbor that he was going to be famous.
Oh, boy.
When the guy was like, oh, you know, what are you doing for Christmas?
I'm going to be famous.
Yeah. So that is an example of harmful conspiracy theories. Not only do you have that example, but as you were saying, in the UK, there are people burning down cell towers all over the place because it's a very common theory there that 5G is somehow harmful.
Well, and this is what we were kind of talking about before yesterday happened. And for the record, and I can't remember if I've said this or not, but like we had this whole thing planned where we were going to talk about the hidden harms and the damages. I have studies prepared. I have surveys prepared. And we were talking about like, well, yeah, conspiracy theories actually do real harm that like solidify in the real world. They're not just words. And I was going to try to convince you of that. I mean, I don't think I have to anymore. So I'm like, I want to just hit the point home that you probably already know now. Ideas have consequences. And when you have dangerous, unvalidated, and uncorroborated ideas that just throw around like gossip at like a high school, there will be dangerous consequences because of
it. It's not just fun and games. It's not all moon landing conspiracies and flat earth. You know, those things are fun to look at and laugh at those people. Those people can have real consequences to their beliefs.
And these aren't just stupid people as well. Conspiracy thinking can take all types of shapes, forms, and sizes. I mean, we talked about a lot of this stuff when we were talking about the cult of Trump, where you don't have to be stupid to be in a cult. You just have to be indoctrinated to believe such. And that's all it is. Where, I mean, we even have in Wisconsin, I'm sure you guys may have heard about this as well, since like most of our viewers are in Wisconsin anyway, of the Grafton pharmacist that spoiled nearly 600 Moderna vaccines for the coronavirus because he believed that it would harm patients and change their DNA.
Again, with no evidence. And he's a licensed pharmacist.
He is a licensed pharmacist. Now, granted, he's also a conspiracy theorist and a gun nut, but... And I think he was actually taking guns to work, too, which is kind of crazy. But he was actually a legit pharmacist going against his own study or his own like industry.
Yeah, the prevailing knowledge in his field, certainly.
Because of his conspiracy beliefs.
And he was trying to hide the fact that he was spoiling these vaccines. This happened twice. He took them out of the freezer, left them out overnight, and then in the morning he would go in and put them back so no one would know, rendering them potentially inert. And those vaccines were given to people.
I think it was like 56.
Yeah, 57? Like 57. Yeah. And they were able to track it and let those people know and probably get them revaccinated. But that's... He wasn't just like, well, I'm going to destroy these and everyone will know that they're destroyed because I'm making a stand. What he was doing could have potentially killed hundreds of people.
Yes.
Because they would have thought they were vaccinated. And then they go out and not to mention, I mean, potentially this could have possibly endangered tens of thousands of people because we're in the early stages. These are healthcare workers that are getting these vaccines and the critically endangered people that could have then spread COVID thinking that they're vaccinated when they're not and could have caused even larger epidemic, and especially here in Wisconsin, we were coming down from apocalyptic numbers during November. We're starting to come back up now because, of course, but we were at levels that no other state was at for a long time here, especially for a small state. We're not New York or California. We had numbers in line with those states.
Yep.
And the fact that someone would do this and think that they're justified, all because of conspiratorial thinking and incorrect information that he's being fed from just uncredible sources and people that are making money by doing this, people like Alex Jones.
But this is where I don't enjoy this story, but this is why I think the story is such a good example, is because he is a trained pharmacist. If anyone should be able to debunk these types of conspiracy theories or that a vaccine would change your DNA, he would probably be the one to do it.
And understand the types of controls and trials and right. testing that these things have to pass and why they are safe. It's one thing for us to say, well, it went through FDA testing, so to us, that does indicate that it should be safe, at least for most people, versus a licensed pharmacist who should understand the process and know what that means.
Exactly. And he still got sucked into this.
And one person's crazy conspiracy beliefs could have potentially placed tens of thousands of people in harm. That's the idea we're trying to get across today with this episode, is it's not just harmless fun or something that, you know, people have as a hobby and yeah, it's fine, drink colloidal silver, no big deal. No, there, you can actually harm yourself, you can harm others because of these beliefs.
And we're not just talking about some crazy people. Yes, I understand. The Grafton pharmacist was a crazy person. The Nashville bomber was a crazy person. The people who stormed the Capitol Bank were crazy people. I understand that. But we're also talking that they're infecting our typical discourse in America right now, where people who are just completely innocent and scared are falling into these same conspiracy theories. I have a study by Ipsos and NPR where they did a mass survey from around the country about these various conspiracy theories to see who believed what. And I want to just quote a couple of results from this study. In a knowledge test where respondents were given 10 true or false statements about historical events, most Americans correctly answered questions about past events, for example, the moon landing, Barack Obama's birthplace, and 9/11, yet show more ambiguity on recent events. Specifically, a plurality of Americans, 40%, believe it is true that COVID-19 was created in a lab in China. More answered true than false. Moreover, fewer than half, 47%, are able to correctly identify that this statement is false. Quote, a group of Satan-worshipping elites who run a child sex ring and are trying to control our politics and media. 37% are unsure whether this theory backed by QAnon is true or false, and 17% believe it is true.
I definitely heard on the Washington Post live feed during the Capitol building coup, someone with a megaphone yelling about satanic pedophiles.
So I just want to reiterate that less than half of survey respondents, 47%, were giving the correct answer about whether or not a Satan-worshipping pedophile ring existed and are trying to control politics. The other 53% weren't sure or actually knew it for sure it was true.
And we see the direct consequences of that yesterday.
A couple more from the study. Nearly half, 47%, believe the majority of protests from this summer were violent, while just 38% correctly indicated that this was a false statement. And then both partisan and education play a role in belief of these events. Both Democrats and college-educated Americans answered more statements correctly than Republicans, independents, and those without a college degree. Shocker. And then the last one I want to talk about before we start talking about the survey, Jason, is 39% of Americans agree there is a deep state working to undermine President Trump. 39%. Half of white men and rural residents, 49% each, also agreed.
And I'm betting a lot of them were in Washington.
I mean, it really puts into perspective that these are widespread conspiracy theories. Our usual around the kitchen table discussion topics are about conspiracy theories now. It's not about whether or not we should raise this particular tax or not. It's literally about whether or not there is a secret pedophile ring to undermine Trump.
And if there was a widespread conspiracy to defraud the election.
And these are just typical people. These aren't all crazies. These are people like you and me. These are our neighbors. These are our aunts and uncles.
Let's not say like you and me.
fine.
I do have some standards.
Fine, whatever. But they're just typical people in the United States. They're not like mentally ill. They're not all like absolutely insane. They're not all in like these weird fringe cults. These are our friends and relatives that are believing this stuff. I'm sure you probably had crazy talks with a friend or relative about this type of thing on Facebook or something like that.
I had a conversation last night about the, all those protesters were secret Antifa agents.
Same here.
Yeah, with someone I knew.
I also found another survey in Indiana from IU Medical School where they interviewed 8,000 or just over 8,000 people who worked in senior living homes. So like the CNAs, the nurses there, things like that. Of the 8,243 responses, 69% of staff would consider taking the vaccine for COVID. 45% would consider receiving an approved vaccine immediately upon availability, and additional 24% would consider receiving the vaccine in the future.
And these are the people that we need to take the vaccine as soon as possible.
69%. Only 69%. Not even three quarters. And the main concern were actually supposed side effects of these vaccines or other things like health reasons and questioning the effectiveness and religious reasons, whatnot. But the vast majority was that they were literally scared to take it.
Religious reasons?
Yeah, religious reasons.
The mark of the beast?
I'm sure, something like that.
Or is the vaccine not kosher?
Whatever. But the fact remains that these people are afraid to take this vaccine, which will help save our entire country because of what they heard about the vaccine.
And is really a responsibility of their job.
Right. But they're too afraid to do so because of the propaganda and the conspiracy theories that are being thrown all over the place because of it. I don't even know what to make of this, man.
And the conspiracy theories for the vaccine are so utterly ridiculous.
It's so easily debunked.
Bill Gates does not care where you are every day. If he wants to find out where you are, they'll track your phone if they really need to.
Well, let's be real here. When you have a usually scientific illiterate society like the United States, and let's be real here, there aren't many other countries that are very scientifically literate anyway. It's not that hard to sow a lot of doubt about vaccines, a topic that a lot of people don't understand how they work. So when you say, well, there's all these crazy side effects, they're not going to know how to debunk those things because they don't understand how they work to begin with. This is where vaccines take control. This is where they take advantage of us, where, and I think we talked about this in our cults episode again, cults and conspiracy theorists and whoever you want to say is trying to negatively manipulate you will always prey on your ignorance. They'll always find the smallest gaps of things that you don't know about because we just don't physically have that capacity to know everything. And they'll try to act like these professionals and experts and just give you false information in a very confident manner.
Sounds like Joe Rogan.
He's a big pillar of conspiracy theories himself. So we need to understand why people believe conspiracy theories. And I found a really good article actually in Nature. It was not an actual academic article in Nature. It was just a blog post by Alexandra Sichaka, a political psychologist at the University of Kent in the UK. And she talks about that there are three broad psychological needs to underlie almost all conspiracy beliefs. Number one, the need to understand the world. Number two, to feel safe. And number three, to belong and feel good about oneself and one's social groups. And basically that comes down to we are pattern-seeking animals who are also social and are afraid of death. So we are constantly trying to think of ways to keep ourselves alive and to thrive as much as possible. And since we are social creatures, we are going to rely on each other for information since we can't hold everything by ourselves.
And I think we may have talked about this previously, but someone who I have no respect for currently, Michael Shermer, in his book, Why Do Smart People Believe Dumb Things, talks about how conspiratorial thinking could actually be selected for through evolution, right? You hear a rustling in the grass. If you think it's a lion and you act accordingly, you're going to survive.
Yep. And the if person who isn't.
And if you think it's just the wind, even though 98% of the time it might be the wind, that 2% of the time that it's a lion, you're going to get eaten. So that it makes sense through evolutionary biology that, you know, thinking that there are demons around every corner might actually be an advantage.
And a quote from the article by Sichaka, those who feel defensive about themselves are more likely than others to embrace conspiracy theories, perhaps to deflect blame for their shortcomings. Conspiracy beliefs have also been linked to feelings of powerlessness, anxiety, isolation, and alienation. Those who feel that they are insignificant cogs in the political machinery tend to assume that there are nefarious influences at play, which we've heard about a lot about this type of stuff too, right? Where you hear the idea of the deep state because they feel powerless to do anything about their own system.
Yeah, the world can't be as random and chaotic as it sounds. There must be something larger and unseen controlling everything, and it's all part of a plan.
Well, and that's where you have a lot of, and this isn't a part of the article, I'm just kind of going off here, but a lot of differences between conservatives and liberals, where a lot of conservatives need to have that type of structure in place. That's where you see a lot more authoritarian Christians and religious people as well, that they just have to have that type of structure. That's why they have to believe in a deity or in a God figure, because without that, there's more ambiguity, which means less sense to make of the world, which means that problems are much more complex, which is usually why you see a lot of Republicans and conservatives making very dumbed down arguments about the world. Right. I still think back to Ted Cruz's debate with Beto O'Rourke, where he tried to take on the entire immigration debate with these four words: legal, good, illegal, bad. And that was it. And it's just the idea that they need to dumb down these things to have more control and better understanding of these problems, because if they didn't, it'd be much harder to solve. And they just have a lower threshold to have of these issues. So what can we do about it? Well, on a personal level, it's actually pretty darn difficult. Taking out conspiracy theories is, like we talked about in the cult episode,
it just makes you part of the conspiracy.
Right. To them. You know, we talked about that with the QAnon thing, where they were going to make QAnon an actual dangerous conspiracy theory. And we talked about how, well, if they do that, they're just going to be a part of the conspiracy theory.
Yeah, they're part of the deep state.
And why is that? And this is, again, why conspiracy theories are so powerful, is of their unfalsifiability. No matter what you do, they will always move the goalposts to make sure that you are never actually debunking their conspiracy theory.
And you definitely heard that during Trump's hour-long call, where every time they would debunk one of his false election claims, he would just move the goalposts and say, well, what about this? Well, what about that? If everything you've said is wrong, what does that mean? Like, the two things that are more difficult to explain to you and isn't gonna, you know, we're not gonna be able to do in a quick phone call, those things are correct then? Why would that be? If 9 out of 10 of your claims are easily debunked, you're still going to hold on to the one thing that's a much longer conversation and claim that that proves everything else that you said was correct. And that's what these people do. They just keep adding more to it, things that you don't have an immediate answer for, and then say, well, see, you couldn't explain this, this, and this, even though you explained 8 other things. It's like, no, that doesn't prove anything. It just should show you that most of your claims are wrong. It's like when you go see a psych and they're wrong 90% of the time, but they guess correctly once with one person in the audience, and everyone goes away from that thinking that that person is talking to the dead.
Yep. So then how do we actually take on these conspiracy theories at a personal level? If your loved one or a family member or whatever has these crazy conspiracy theories, what can you do? Well, we're still trying to figure that out. Just like how people can't just leave cults willy-nilly, they can't give up conspiracy theories willy-nilly, because the principles are the same. They're psychological in nature. So one thing we do know, though, is like with cults, your realities or your outside realities affect your worldview. And that's why it's so important that we cannot let conspiracy theories slide, even if it seems like it's exhausting and useless to keep calling them out. So for example, if you wouldn't let a friend push conspiracy theories while you're all sitting around the kitchen table talking about it, don't let them do it online. Don't let them do it on Facebook. Don't let them do it on Twitter. It's the same thing. Just because you wouldn't let them do it in person, online doesn't make it any less valuable. In fact, it would be even worse online because it reaches a higher or a bigger audience. But when you're actually talking to the individual, you have to remember that if you just try to debunk the surface level stuff with conspiracy theories, it's not going to actually do much good unless you go back farther to the more basic premises of that conspiracy theory. So for example, if someone believes that Democrats stole the election for Biden, you have to first get the individual to understand and trust our election process. If they don't understand the process, they're not going to know how to break that process, basically. And they're always going to believe that that process is broken because, like we talked about earlier from the Sichaka article, they're always going to feel like they're powerless because they don't understand how the process works. When you give them knowledge about how the processes work, you give them more power.
And a lot of what you see with these election fraud claims are the, well, all of a sudden they found these votes in the middle of the night. That is a misunderstanding of what's going on. And that requires an explanation of how absentee ballot counting works in certain states, specifically here in Wisconsin. You cannot begin counting absentee ballots until after the polls close. So you will not see any absentee vote totals included while the immediate closure of the polls and all of the in-person votes are tallied, because, you know, you put your ballot through the machine when you make your vote in person. Those totals are available as soon as the polls close and that district reports, but they also have to then start counting all of the absentee ballots. And those totals get added throughout the night as they're being counted. So the initial, and this was bigger during this election, obviously, because of COVID and the record number of absentee ballots that you had, because people didn't want to go to the polling places. So that's why you had these huge vote totals being added much later after polls are being closed. That's the reason. Whether or not somebody's going to accept that as the reason, I don't know, but that is the actual reason. They weren't finding votes. They were counting the absentee ballots, which heavily favored Democrats in most states.
But how do you know? But no, it's seriously, where you also have to understand that when you are dealing with conspiracy theories, we are not logical beings. I know we talked about that before too. You can tell there's a lot of crossover. So you have to make sure your arguments are also emotionally persuasive as well as intellectually persuasive or logically persuasive. So be aware of that and be nice and casual and make sure that you're not a threat to the individual. Another thing you have to really make sure you're doing is when you're walking an individual through these processes and explain to them that the conspiracy theory is false, you have to go through and explain why exactly the conspiracy theory is false instead of just labeling them as stupid. Go through the importance of sources. Talk about what makes a good source versus a bad source. We just talked about earlier how Matt Gaetz quoted the Washington Times, which is a very bad news source with motivated right-wing reasoning, which is also owned by a cult. Like, seriously, it's not good. So, but someone like the Washington Times is intentionally making themselves look like they are legitimate news, and propaganda outlets will always do stuff like that to make sure that they have the best audience possible. So strategies like that are used all the time. We actually didn't talk about this in our headlines episode because it got drowned out by the riots, unfortunately, but there were 12 Republican senators that released a joint statement saying they were going to object to the certifying of the election results. In that letter, or in that joint statement, they go through about how they are so concerned about the election process, how they want more transparency, and that there are so many issues with regularities and fraud, and they need to have this stuff rejected because of that. But in that, actually goes through, and I posted like a long rant about this because I was so angry, is that they specifically talk about the allegations being used and not actual evidence of fraud, where they'll say things like the allegations of voter fraud are overwhelming. There are 39% of Americans think that there are issues with our allegations of election fraud. And they're doing that to intentionally manipulate you to believe a conspiracy theory. But they know that what they're doing is false, and they expect you to not know that. So be very careful and try to explain the importance of those types of motivated reasonings and manipulations to your individual who's a friend or family member or whoever.
Yes, this is probably the biggest reason for all of these claims of election fraud. This is the biggest factor in it.
I mean, Ron Johnson's still doing it.
Yeah, so everything that you're hearing from any right-leaning source is all just reports, affidavits, anecdotes from people with zero evidence. And they take these rumors and they present them as fact. That is 100% what Trump was doing during the call. He even at one point admitted that something that he had said earlier in the call stated as a fact was actually a rumor, because he called it a rumor later on. Well, there's this rumor that this was going on. That's what all of those affidavits that all got thrown out in those dozens of court cases that they lost. There was no actual evidence. It was one, people not understanding the election process, which Trump also does not. And he brings up video from the election in Georgia stating is like the State Farm Arena or something was where the footage is from, stating, oh, they're pulling suitcases out from under this desk as like it's some nefarious secret thing. And when Georgia election officials viewed the footage, said, no, that those are the cases that we use to store ballots. What you're seeing on that video is exactly what we'd expect. It's business as usual. They are doing their jobs and counting votes. It's someone who has no idea what an election looks like because they've never seen one before in their lives, giving their opinion as if they're an expert by just watching it and saying, this looks weird to me. That's evidence of fraud. No, it's not. And that's all of these reports, all of these poll watchers who are not people that generally work at polling places that even understand. They don't ask anyone what's going on. They just see something that they think looks unusual and cry fraud. And then they call the Trump hotline or get in touch with their local representative and give a statement that they witnessed election fraud.
Well, let's look back at what I just said a little bit ago, where the outward reality is the person's worldview. So while you can use that for good, you also see it being used for bad purposes as well, which is a perfect case here where Republicans know they are not being honest. Ted Cruz is not an idiot. He's a crazy person, but he's not an idiot. He's a Harvard grad lawyer. Ron Johnson is an absolutely crazy person, but he's not an idiot. They know exactly what they're doing here. They're intentionally manipulating you, spreading these things and repeating them over and over and over again just to give them more credibility, because the more you hear about it, the more credible it sounds. That's how these conspiracy theories work, is that you just keep hearing these same allegations over and over and over again until your own instincts take over and you just start being skeptical and you start worrying that there may actually be something in that bush. You don't know.
Probably a lion.
And that's why debunking conspiracy theories is so difficult, because once a conspiracy theory grabs hold of someone, it's nearly impossible for them to get out of it. So what do you do that's even better than debunking? Well, Stachacka actually also talked about another strategy, which is called pre-bunking, which means correcting the entrenched beliefs before it even sticks to someone. The minute that you see misinformation out there, you squash it immediately. You take it down, you don't give it any credence at all, and it gives them, basically, you're just taking the oxygen out of the fire. That's what you need to do.
To continue with the election analogy, we all were expecting exactly what happened on election day, that there would be this lead by the Republicans and by Donald Trump early, as soon as polls closed, because we were told the people voting in person are probably going to lean heavily Republican. And then as they count those Democratic ballots, you'll see the numbers catch up. Now, that didn't work for everyone. Not everyone is listening to those sources. Fox News isn't going to tell you that throughout the evening that Republicans are probably going to lose whatever leads they might have early on. But certainly I heard it ahead of time.
I did too.
And that is a method of doing, is letting people know what to expect ahead of time so that they can be prepared mentally when they see it.
Now, Jason, I want to get your opinion on this. So that was all on a personal level. What do we do on a systemic level, at least in the United States right now?
Well, I see that you have written down here a national push for comprehensive critical thinking skills. I could not be more behind that. Something that is desperately needed in middle school and high school curriculum. What can you do if you're listening to this and you want to know what you can do to improve your critical thinking skills? I can kind of tell you what started my awakening in that field and what's helped me quite a lot.
Sure.
There is a podcast called The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, which is incredibly helpful. Most of their content is geared towards critical thinking. There's also a wonderful novel by the late Carl Sagan called Demon Haunted World, Science as a Candle in the Dark, which is all about critical thinking skills and kind of where we're lacking that in America. I highly recommend that as well. Probably my favorite book that I've ever read. And those things are, I would say, the majority of my entry into critical thinking and how to evaluate data and how to look at claims. And Carl Sagan calls it the bullshit detector. I don't know if I'm going to have to edit that out or not, but
I say you're fine.
But that's what it gives, supposed to arm you with the tools in order to determine if a statement is accurate or not.
And
I could say baloney detector if you were being
whatever.
PG.
And I would say, I mean, regardless, I think it all comes from the schools. In the Ipsos survey, we saw that an inverse correlation between education and conspiratorial thinking. The more educated a person is, the less conspiratorial they are. So this has to be done through the schools. And I think it has to be done at an early age and has to be done multiply or like throughout multiple years of school, integrated in multiple things. And I think this can be very difficult to do, but I think it is possible. Where, I mean, I specifically remember this was a weird time for me, but I was actually like a part of this weird little meeting of how a middle school should be using or teaching evolution and actually have like thinking about evolution, how to understand evolution. Well, it was a super religious Christian school where the principal actually thought evolution was fake, which was great. So they tried to do this whole thing about we need to show both sides of the argument and stuff like that. And the intention was there. However, you can't just show both sides of an argument and assume that they're going to understand why one side is good and one side isn't. You do have to take a stand on issues and make sure that kids understand how ideas form and show them that if you ask questions about certain things, you'll understand why ideas are bad.
Yeah, you need to go back and say, especially when you're talking about evolution versus creationism, and say, or whatever intelligent design, whatever nonsense they're coming up with, and say, well, this is how we know. It makes predictions.
Yep.
That we are later found as we gain more knowledge to be true. If the theory of natural selection was wrong when we developed genetics, we would see evidence of that, right? The genetic makeup of polar bears would be more different than brown bears than it is to reptiles. Those things, they wouldn't line up as perfectly as it does, as natural selection and evolution would predict. But in fact, it does line up with the predictions made by natural selection and evolution, proving that those theories are in fact correct.
Well, and here's the big issue with this is that just like with the theory of evolution and natural selection, these are going to be very controversial school programs. Parents are not going to be happy because the only way you can teach critical thinking is by basically going through and debunking bad ideas that the parents have. I mean, ultimately, you're going to have to start getting into the ideas of philosophy, maybe even religion, and a lot of political issues, because let's be real here, everything is political. Parents aren't going to be happy. They're going to throw a fit, and they're going to continue to say things like, well, our schools are just democratic indoctrination centers, because they actually don't understand how these processes work themselves, and they think their child is actually getting like brainwashed, when in actuality, they're being taught the processes of actual critical thinking. Well, we're seeing it right now with the 1619 Project, right? I mean, the 1619 Project was just supposed to be a history lesson about how America was formed. And our president started saying that it was anti-American.
And instead they should teach jingoism.
Right. So let's be real here. Like, this will not be like an overnight process by any means. I think a much easier way to start, I mean, I don't know about you, Jason, but I think a great way to start would be for freshmen in college, you have to have a critical thinking course as a gen ed. Just make that part of the curriculum. You have to have a critical thinking course of some kind as a gen ed when you go into college. Easy. And then from on there, you just keep moving it back to, well, then in high school, you should have critical thinking courses and philosophy courses in high school. And then you should also have more stuff that's integrated into critical thinking in, we'll say, middle and elementary schools.
How we know what we know.
Exactly. So, and then also, I think we should definitely have more internet literacy programs in schools. I mean, they're kind of already doing this, which is good. They have fake news training. I don't want to say training programs, but they're classes. Fake news classes in elementary school. They have programs where they teach kids about how to spot fake news, how to look at better media outlets versus other media outlets, things like that. And it's okay. I think they're still trying to get better at it, but I think within time, it'll get a lot better. And especially now in this day and age where their entire world is the internet. They don't really have a social life because they can't go outside and play with their friends all the time.
They have a social media life.
Quite literally. So I think having good internet literacy in schools would do so much wonders for us in the long run. And again, just like in the critical thinking classes, you're going to have a big generational gap between older generations. Unfortunately, even generations like ours, Jason, compared to, we'll say, like Gen Zers, who are going to be much more familiar with these types of internet literacy programs. So they may even be more progressive than we are, which I'd be very okay with.
That's how progress generally works. I'm fine with that.
So it's a very tough issue. It's not going to be solved in one day. It's not going to be solved in 1 year, and probably it's not going to be solved in our lifetime. But just be aware that there are consequences to actions. When someone says something, there are consequences for that. They're not just words. Someone's not being a pansy because they're getting offended, supposedly, by just words.
Snowflake.
Right. Conspiracy theories are actually dangerous. When your aunt spreads misinformation, she's being dangerous. When your uncle is spreading information about how Joe Biden secretly, I don't know, is a
satanic pedophile.
Yeah, satanic pedophile or something like that. I mean, he's being a useful idiot for a conspiracy theory cult. And real harm is being done. We saw that yesterday with what happens.
So yes, we had a good anecdote on the internet the other day. Jackie Fairley, who I'm not familiar with outside of this story, but she posted a story saying, after 21 years of being with my husband, we separated 2 months ago because conspiracies and Trump became more important. I am shattered, but will somehow get through it. Got a lovely text from him this morning. And what she posted, which would supposedly be from her husband. Maybe he's British, I'm not sure. Shut up, you bloody fool. You know nothing. You support an evil, satanic pedophile, spelled incorrectly, a.k.a. Joe Biden. Punctuation's a little weird on that. Joe's not capitalized, Biden is. Take a look at alternative sources. Stop being a sheep. All mainstream sources of information are compromised and controlled, especially the news channels. This guy does not know how to use commas. Are you going to cry when Trump gets inaugurated again? Are you going to be the 5-6%, oddly specific, of humanity that refuse to awaken even when they're shown the truth? This is very QAnon heavy, the awaken terminology, satanic pedophile.
Well, and then I would give the rest of you guys homework and look at what we just read to you and see all the references to why people believe in conspiracies that I talked about earlier and see how many signs you can tell from this one message. Because after talking about it for so long, I just like reread this message with you. I'm like, holy crap, there are all the signs.
And this is somebody who's speaking to someone they were with for 21 years.
And loved.
Yes. I've been with my wife for a little bit longer than that, but very close to 21 years. I can't imagine ever having this much anger towards her, this much vitriol. It's very depressing seeing that someone could be this twisted by a conspiracy. And I did read the comments on this, a lot of people saying, like, how could you be with someone for that long? And her response is like, no, this person was a very good, loving, kind person up until very recently, when they basically fell down the QAnon rabbit hole and turned into somebody completely different, because they literally believe that the world is being run by satanic pedophiles who are trying to take over the government. If that were true, that might be more important than your relationship, right? If literally you had to fight against a cult that was eating children and sacrificing them to the devil who exists, apparently, that, you know, might be a bigger commitment than your marriage to fight against that. The problem is that there is less than no evidence that that is true. And this person is not equipped with what they need to be able to determine that clearly.
So just be aware that this can happen to anyone. Your friends and family aren't just crazy. They didn't just get crazy. This is a psychological phenomenon that's still being studied today. Heck, that's what I'm going to grad school for, literally. So this is a very serious problem, and you have to take this seriously too. I don't want to sound alarmist, but something really bad is happening to our country and to our friends and family. I don't want to say be scared or be afraid, because that sounds too cliche, but seriously though.
Be informed.
I like that. That's a lot better. So, but seriously, take this seriously, be informed about this, and you have to take this head on. If we don't take it head on, it's only going to get worse. And to be honest, I think as of right now, it's only going to get worse before it gets better. So buckle in and get ready for a new year.
Goodbye, everybody. I don't have anything to add, but check out The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. Read Demon Haunted World if you haven't already. Our listeners are probably already.
I really thought I had a nice ending there with like buckle up and get ready for a new year.
We could end it there. I've cut hours of my rambling.
I've cut more. I have the best cuts. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you in the next episode. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at ThinkProPod. You can email us at thinkpropod@gmail.com. And remember, when in doubt, think progressively. Jason, to be honest, I don't even know if we can. I mean, it kind of doesn't mean much now, but that NPR Politics podcast is a clip that it's a quick interview with someone who is a big Trump supporter that said they would go to a civil war for Trump.
No, they did.
I was going to have you play that and like, oh my God, this is horrifying.
yeah, no point now.
Right. I guess we'll just move on. I think we just skipped the Operation Warp Speed one, unless you have something to talk about.
That's the one thing that I actually gave Trump credit for, which, of course, I shouldn't have.
Right. You know what? Let me find the tweet for you, because I just want to get it right here.
All right, I'll just edit that out anyway.
Thank you.
So you found the tweet right away.
I also tweeted.
None of this is happening.
I also tweeted at him from our account, because I got really angry.
You tell him. Our account that no one follows.
Yeah. All right, here we go. God, I lost my train of thought.